Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week.
Yes, work will be busy. Yes, work will be demanding at times. But at the heart of this, we know that looking after your well-being enables you to get the work done. We want the work done and we want to look after you at the same time. It's not an either or. They both fuel each other.
But actually, when you've got 3 out of 5, the majority of people who are saying, actually, no, I'm not feeling joy, I'm not feeling satisfaction, that's really worrying, isn't it?
What we want people to do is really think about their well-being, think about their mental health, talk to each other any day of the year, every day of the year. It's really important to be thinking about our mental health and having conversations about it.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday. The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome back to Mental Health Monday and the first podcast of 2024. I hope you've had a great festive period and into the new year. The first podcast of the year is going out on a day which is called by some Blue Monday, or the most depressing day of the year. Now, the story behind this was that a company, I think it was a holiday company, decided that because we were so far away from payday in January and everyone was skint from Christmas and the weather was bad and the skies were dark and generally people were apprehensive about the whole year gaping out in front of them, that it was named the most depressing day of the year. And of course it isn't. It was a bit of a stunt. What I've found though in recent years is that people have focused on this day, and the Samaritans, for instance, they now host a Brew Monday event to kind of reclaim it a little bit, and a whole host of other people use it as an opportunity to talk about mental health. What I sometimes find working in the mental health world is that sometimes it's only days like World Mental Health Day or World Suicide Prevention Day that people are actually maybe prepared to provide platforms for mental health conversations, or to feel like they've got permission to talk about their mental health. So I know it comes from a slightly silly place, this Blue Monday thing, but actually if this is something that allows us to have another opportunity to have these conversations, to give other people permission to talk about their feelings, their thoughts, and about, yeah, why January is a tough month for them. Absolutely. Let's embrace it. Let's have those conversations. And this week, speaking with Simon Blake from Mental Health First Aid England. Now, Simon's always a great guest on Mental Health Monday. And actually, Mental Health First Aid England have actually done a survey to coincide with so-called Blue Monday. Instead, they're looking at the reality of it. And actually, a lot of stuff here around the workplace. So as part of this survey, they found that 59% of employees do not regularly feel joy and satisfaction at work. That's 3 in 5 people going to work and not feeling a sense of joy or satisfaction. 1 in 5, 22%, feel their sense of purpose, satisfaction and joy at work has decreased since the pandemic. Also within this data, almost half of workers say they'd never had a well-being check with their employer. And the data reveals that since 2021, almost double the number of employees say their workplaces failed to check in on their well-being in the last year, which is concerning. Now, as part of this survey, there's an announcement about a day which is coming up later on this year, which is looking at My Whole Self. It's a campaign for workplace culture change, aiming to create workplace cultures where people have the safety and freedom to choose which parts of their identity they share at work without fear or judgment. Just speaks to that whole conversation about being able to step into a workplace, be yourself, crack on with your job, but also get a sense of satisfaction from it, get feedback from it, and not be hammered by emails or unrealistic targets. Because let's be honest, we are in work a lot of the time. It's a big part of our lives, and it's a big part, to a certain extent, of our identities. So let's explore a little bit more about this with Simon Blake from Mental Health First Aid England. I'll put some details into the My Whole Self campaign into the podcast notes as well. And I started by saying that, well, despite the fact that Blue Monday is a little bit silly, it's probably fair to say that January can be a struggle for quite a few people.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? Lots of people come back reinvigorated, new me, new year, etc. And other people find the dark months, you know, take their toll, the financial impact of celebrating the last few weeks, etc. So, but the key bit in all of this is that what we want people to do is really think about their well-being, think about their mental health, talk to each other, understand, you know, a bit about it. So, yeah, any day of the year, every day of the year, it's really important to be thinking about our mental health and having conversations about it.
We're going to talk today about mental health within the workplace. And I always think that sometimes workplaces might go, oh, what do you want me to do? But workplaces are such crucial parts of people's day-to-day life that if we are having, and we are having, a mental health crisis within the UK, workplaces are going to be on the front line, are they not? So if people are having a difficult time, even if it's not related to work, workplaces will need to be across what their employees and their staff are going through.
Absolutely. And I think your point there, Mick, is so important. You know, it may be work-related. It may not be work-related. It may be a combination of our personal lives and our work lives. You know, if things are not great at work, things may not be as good at home or the other way around. And particularly, given the last 3-4 years that we've had. So workplaces, really have started to change the way that they think about this. You know, when people are feeling well, they are much more likely to perform well. When they feel supported by their line manager, they're much more likely to feel well. When they're connected to colleagues, when they're passionate about their work. So for all sorts of reasons, you know, it's really important that workplaces are thinking about how do we support our people. The moral case is clear. This is about human beings and about their well-being. And the financial case is clear. Yeah, all the evidence shows that poor mental health impacts on workplaces. So that's why we want to continue to see the change and everybody thinking about how do we have the conversation? How do we check in with people and their health and well-being?
Yeah, and we'll come on to how the physical actions people can take. But let's just talk about some of the stats here. This is a high number. 3 out of 5 people don't feel joy or satisfaction at work. Now, I can completely understand because I've had these jobs. People sometimes have jobs that they just go in, they do the job, they're not really engaged with it. It's just the thing that they've got to do to pay the bill. But actually, when you've got 3 out of 5, the majority of people who are saying, actually, no, I'm not feeling joy, I'm not feeling satisfaction, which is a slightly different thing, but almost more important that you feel a sense of value. That's really worrying, isn't it?
I think it is worrying. And I think the key bit in this is life has changed, you know, and we mustn't underestimate how much life has changed. You know, I'm sat in my office today, but most Fridays I might well be at home. And you know, that movement, that energy you get from being connected with your peers, you know, the laughter that you hear in offices, and of course, the flexibility that working from home and being able to work in different places and spaces brings. But I think we've got a job right now, which is not how do we go back to the past, not how do we stay here, but how do we move forward to a place where, you know, more people are saying, do you know what? Work is giving me a sense of purpose. You know, I'm feeling connected and I'm taking satisfaction and joy from it. If we can do that, then we're going to be, you know, much better off. Work is a really important part of our lives.
I know some people are trying to forget the pandemic ever happened, but actually the survey says that 22% of those who you asked said it was worse, their sense of well-being was worse since the pandemic. So there is a line there, isn't there? There's sort of a before pandemic, post-pandemic line that we have to sort of bear in mind whenever we look at these sort of judgments.
Yeah, there is. And I think it is really important. And the pandemic, yeah, for all sorts of reasons, shifted the way that we do. But one of the most significant ones was the way that we work and people not wanting to commute as much, people wanting to work from their offices, from their homes more, you know, that increased flexibility. And I really believe that that is powerful and important. But it doesn't mean that we don't have, it means that we then have to think even more about where are the connections? How am I staying connected? How am I building relationships with my colleagues? How am I moving? Am I still moving enough to get that sort of connection between physical and mental health that we know is so important? What's happening to the way that we eat, the way that we drink, the way we exercise, so that we can make sure that whatever it was that was good before the pandemic, we're able to bring forward into this bit. Whatever was good during the pandemic, we're able to bring to the next bit to create a new way of working which supports our well-being and make sure that people are feeling joyful at work, but also that people are spotting signs of where people may be struggling. That's one of the things that we know is also shifted. You know, if you and I were sat in the same room every day, it would be much easier potentially for us to spot signs of change, and we just might have to try a bit harder, think a bit differently.
Yeah, and as I say, we'll come on to what people can physically do. Half of those surveys said they'd never had a well-being check, or don't remember having a well-being check recently. And that's getting worse as well. So almost like those practices and policies that we'd like to see introduced, maybe even if they were introduced during the pandemic, where people go, oh, we'd better check in on our staff. That almost seems to have been part. You can't put anything in place if you don't speak to your staff about how they're feeling and get a sense of understanding about what they're going through.
Yeah, and when I've spoken to people about this stat, they say, oh, I do check in with my staff's well-being. And I think it's really important to say perception is reality. So if people are saying they don't feel as though they're being checked in on properly, then we have to believe that and make sure that it is really clear that we care about our staff, that we care about them on a human level, and that they are experiencing that sense of people checking in as line managers, as peers. And so, you know, whether that's really explicit, this is a well-being check-in, or whether there's something really explicit at the beginning of every one-to-one. So, yeah, we start our one-to-ones with, how are you and what are you doing to look after yourself? And it's not necessarily the one answer. It's the, oh, is that the same as last time? Is that the same pattern over 6 months? Has anything changed? And how do we use that sort of data to just say, oh, that's interesting. Normally you say that you've been meeting, you know, friends or doing your Zumba, whatever it is. You've said that you haven't been doing anything for a while. Is there anything we need to worry about or talk about? And is it impacting on your work?
Can I ask you about Pizza Friday? Pizza Friday is this phenomenon that workplaces introduce Pizza Friday and then go, we look after our staff well-being. Pizza's on a Friday. Tick. Well-being box ticked. Aren't we a great company to work for? Surely we've got to put a stop to that. Not the pizzas, but that being the one thing that a company would do to improve their well-being within their staff.
Yeah, and you know, people might even talk about pizzas if they could, you know, are there pineapple on top? You start whole different debates. The important bit here is it's got to be a systematic whole organization approach. It's got to be embedded into the DNA of the business. It's not, that bit of pizza or whatever, you know, drinks on Friday, pizza on Friday, walking, whatever it is, great. But on its own, it's not going to be enough. How are people being cared for, feeling cared for, knowing that they can get support when they need it? And that's what we've got to get to in every single workplace up and down the country.
Let's get into sort of what workplaces can do. What are the mistakes, maybe, Simon, that workplaces are making that are creating these environments, knowingly or unknowingly, where people aren't feeling the joy, aren't feeling the satisfaction, and with that, probably aren't staying in the company very long, aren't as productive within the workplace as they might otherwise be?
I think there are probably several factors in this. One, of course, is that we know that people need to understand that their job has purpose. We know that people need to feel like they've got the tools to do the job, the time to do the job, and the relationships. So when people talk about mental health, they sometimes focus, like you say, on the pizza or on the massage, when actually some of those core things which drive connection and well-being and not in place. So we need to think about, work, what are the patterns of work? What are the tools? Have people got enough time to do their job well? How do people manage emails? We could be sat 24 hours a day responding to emails. Email is a tool to help us do our job, not our job in itself. So how do we get better at helping people to really think about work and the way that we do work? I started work and there was no email. The way that you thought about work and came into work was very different. You didn't just pick up your computer. You would go, what am I going to do today? What have I got? What is it? So it's really about looking at that, those core issues about work, and then thinking, okay, what can we do on top of that? How do we check in with people? Line managers play an absolutely critical role. How do we make sure there are social events which everybody feels able to participate in? How do we make sure that those relationships really flourish between and across teams, so that we're not making the mistake of, as you say, people feeling as though it's a tick box exercise, and feel that, yes, work will be busy. Yes, work will be demanding at times. Yes, it won't always be straightforward. But at the heart of this, we know that looking after your well-being enables you to get the work done. We want the work done, and we want to look after you at the same time. It's not an either or. They both fuel each other.
There's the stories, and you mentioned emails there of the email that says, I'm just following up this I sent you 3 days ago. I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on it or could action it. And it's sent at 9:03 on a Monday morning. And the previous email was sent at 5:26 on the Friday. And you haven't given them 3 days. You've given them 7 minutes. Like, that's how much work time you've given them. But there's a presumption that, well, I sent you this. So therefore, and that's a reality for a lot of people, that they see those things or they think, well, I'll just check my email as a just in case. And of course, the other thing is it creates that thing, doesn't it, where if you then reply to that email at 9:15 on a Sunday evening, it creates that culture where, well, they're replying to emails. Oh, I need to engage with this, because you don't want to rock up on a Monday morning, feel like you're out of step or that you've held something back.
And I think that's where I really think at the heart of this, is we carry around phones all the time. We have personal responsibility. If I look at my phone on a Sunday night, then that is something that I choose to do. And equally, we don't all work the same hours. If we want to work flexibly, it means that we've got to have an organizational responsibility and personal responsibility to do it. If I leave my computer on the kitchen desk, I will think about work just before I go to bed, because it's there, it connects you. So these are the conversations that organizations, line managers, and individuals need to have. How do we do our best as an organization to make sure we don't send emails at 5 to 5 on Friday and expect it by 9:15 on a Monday? But equally, you don't look at your emails, just before bedtime, because somebody else may be working a day, which means that is the time when they can communicate. Whereas before it was always a letter or face-to-face. The world and the way of communicating has changed, and our working practice and our personal responsibilities and organizational responsibilities have to come together. And that's why I think this is about imagining new ways of working. It's not going back to the good old days. There isn't a halcyon future. It's consistently thinking, how do we keep getting better? How do we learn?
I was going to say, because there might be some employers who, a lot of this is just be nicer to people, treat people with more kindness, treat people with compassion, look out for them. But sometimes employers might be thinking, well, it's not about that, or that's not the structure that we have in place here. And it's not, we don't maybe have that human connection within that workplace. Can you fake that human connection, or can you create systems that at least alleviate some of those dehumanizing elements that you have within workplaces?
God, you're asking the big questions today.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, some people, Sam, just aren't very nice. Some bosses just aren't very nice, and they do care about people, but they care more about their own success, or they care more about the no. And those people will never go away in business. So I guess the thing is, well, how can we protect against those bosses? Because we've all worked for them. we all know who those people are. How can we protect against those sorts of people?
Well, I think that's a really important bit, isn't it, around this, which is that we are all human beings and we come to work as human beings. So, decent human behavior, kind, courteous, respect, then clear about what objectives are and clear about success and performance and all of those sorts of things. And that should be an expected standard. Bullying, harassment is not acceptable in the workplace under any circumstances. But to your specific point about the Teams channels, for example, or Zoom or whatever it is, Slack, that does that actually create connection, or does it feel like another thing that you've got to look out for? And those are the unintended consequences of trying to do this. We've had these conversations about home workers when most people were in the office. How do you make sure that home workers feel included at the same time office? We've had conversations about going to the pub. You don't always go to the pub. Some people don't want to go to the pub. Their cultural or religious beliefs don't allow them to go to the pub. And therefore, how do you make sure that you're more inclusive? So often you have these unintended consequences. And I think that our communication channels, you talked about the emails. I often get an email which says, and then a WhatsApp which says, I've emailed you. I know. I saw the email. It wasn't top of the list. I'll WhatsApp you back to say, I'm going to look at the email later. All of those things, which are just habits which we've got into. And we just need to step back. And what I know, I guess, is that time is probably the most important thing that we need to think about when you're thinking about work. And then very closely followed by relationship or time and relationships, you know, good quality relationships between line managers and their people that report to them, good quality relationships between peers, people who understand enough about the signs and symptoms of poor mental health to know actually when to really check in, and all of us to care about each other on a very human level in the context of work.
For bosses who are listening to this, maybe heading into the workplace, can you give us just a couple of examples of things that introductions that have been made within workplaces that you've seen, either that you've recommended or that you've seen other organizations introduce, that you thought that genuinely re-engages with staff or that genuinely makes a difference to the well-being of staff?
So the most important thing for anybody is know your context, know your organization, and then think about the different bits of the organization, the different people working in organizations, and talk to them about what it is that is causing joy and causing pain. You look at the data which is being provided, whether that's your formal surveys, your retention, turnover, you know, are there particular departments where people are very, very happy or very unhappy? And then thinking about the things that we can do to make sure that the work is really, really purpose-driven, that the ways of working are purposeful and the tools are there to be able to provide it, that everybody has some awareness training around mental health and whether it's mental health first aiders or line managers who are clear that they know how to support staff. We're really focusing also on the quality relationships. And I think that's one of the most important things that we need to make sure in this increasingly flexible working environment is how do we maintain relationships where people feel connected, feel supported, and really feel connected to the organization, each other. Then use days like My Whole Self Day, Mental Health Awareness Week, Suicide Awareness Month, Mental Health Day. There are loads of opportunities in the year to start the conversation or to amplify the conversation. They mustn't be the conversation. Yeah, any opportunity to think about well-being, to encourage people's a sense of well-being is really important. And I guess the last thing, if I'm talking to bosses, is this is it is about being human. It is about being nice. It is about a moral and legal duty of care, but it's also about business success. Where businesses are doing this well, they are more productive and get better turnover. So this is a win-win situation. Great for staff, great for business, great for bosses.
My Whole Self Day is coming on Tuesday, the 12th of March. There's all this information. I'll put a link in the podcast notes as well where people can find out more about it. But this idea that some people are going to work not giving their whole self, and I guess that's fine if you want to hold some things back, but if you feel like you can't represent yourself, then you won't be that happy employee. You won't feel totally engaged with it because you're always feeling like you're not able to do yourself, be yourself. And I guess that could be for a whole host of reasons as well. The concerning thing would be, Simon, if you feel like that might be potentially a risk for you to not maybe talk about your sexuality, or you might not talk about your religion, or you might not even talk about your hobbies or your pastimes, things that you feel like you can't talk about. That speaks of an unhealthy workplace, doesn't it? How important is it that you are able to give of yourself as much as you want to give within that workplace environment?
It's exactly that. It's about people feeling a sense of belonging and feeling that they are not having to hide parts of their identity and who they are. If people are hiding, cautious, on high alert, it isn't going to create that psychological safety which people need to be able to perform. But it also is going to mean that they're worrying about something else when actually you want people's focus to be on work. But this is also about who gets the credit for ideas, who gets listened to, who gets seen around the tables. We know that those structural inequalities around race, around age, around class all still exist. And so My Whole Self Day is really a moment in which we say, think about all the different types of people, the richness that we have in our teams, and make sure that everybody is feeling able to contribute as much as they want to, because they feel confident in being themselves in the context of the work, and that people are getting the credit, the opportunities, the chances to really succeed and thrive.
And finally, Simon, for a work workplace employees, staff who are maybe listening to this heading into work or on a jog trying to clear their mind after a difficult day at the workplace, how would you recommend that they engage with their workplaces if they're thinking, you know what, the emailing stuff is too much, the workload and expectation is too high, the targets you're setting are unachievable? How do you recommend that people go about engaging with that conversation to make it as healthy as possible?
And, you know, I guess it's the important bit about this is big organizations to small organizations, they will all be very different in structure. But the key thing is, who can you talk to that you trust to have conversations which say, these are the ways that could really improve my well-being, my sense of satisfaction, the team, whoever it is, that, you know, taking that deep breath. And, you know, we spend too much time at work to be unhappy and to not be quiet about it. And, there is so many ideas that people will have from their different lens on an organization. And so often, you know, people like me as a chief executive or a senior line manager or a line manager don't have the same perspective. So make sure those perspectives are known and understood. Put in the ideas box, put it in staff engagement survey, ask what's being done, and keep on saying it, and don't stop. You know, this is a collective effort to challenge mental health stigma, to make sure that everybody is able to be their best at work and to feel as though they are welcome and warm. And that requires all of us. You know, have a conversation with your peer if you don't feel able to have a conversation with the line manager. Check out what other people think. Just get the conversation going. And I guess the final thing I would say on that is also say what's working. It's so, so easy sometimes to say what's not working, and then we don't hear what is working. And if we can turn up the volume on things that are really helpful, because, life isn't always, 100% easy, 100% balanced, but, we can also just amplify those things which help us to feel good. And then what are my personal responsibilities? I know if I don't exercise that work is going to be problematic. I know that if I look at my phone on a Sunday evening, that I'm not going to come in refreshed, whatever those things are that what is it that you can also do along with your organization to look after yourself, to look after each other? Because, we're all humans. We've all got mental health. We all deserve to feel joy and satisfaction and purpose and welcome at work.
Absolutely. Sam, thank you so much for your time. I feel like in this conversation, I've come across as if I'm down on Pizza Friday. For anyone who's got Pizza Friday, I'm not saying we should get rid of Pizza Friday. I'm saying Pizza Friday plus. It's going to be Pizza Friday and something else, because, of course, who doesn't like pizza on a Friday? Thank you so much for your time. There's loads of information on Mental Health First Aid England's website. I'll point people in the direction of that. They'll be breaking the podcast notes for that one as well. People can find out some more information. But Simon, as always, a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Mick.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.